And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time together. We thank you to study your word. We thank you for the saints that are here today and are listening. And we pray for all of them that they rest in your grace and that we open our hearts this morning, especially on the subject of forgiveness, Lord. And we know that you're the expert and the founder of that. And we do pray, Lord, that we will listen to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to talk this morning about forgiving. This is a kind of a tough subject, and it's talking about forgiving with our relationships with the people we have. And we all say we know how to do this. We all say that we practice this, but do we really understand what that means? And whenever there's a relationship problem, probably 90% of the time, that's the issue by one or more of the people in the relationship. So it may hit home. It's already hit home to me looking over this in a hard way. There's people that I, in my mind, oh, I've forgiven them, and I go back, well, I really haven't. So this is something we need to really focus on with our relationships. And we're going to go over what Christ did for us also. And you know that God, He's a God of order, and He has these verses in a way, and you looked at it and really dawned on me. If you look at Ephesians 30 through 32, where did the relationship verses start in Ephesians? As far as when it talks about husbands and wives, does it start before this or after this? It starts after. Why is that? Why did it start after verses like these? That's right. Because if you don't do these things first, how in the heck are you going to love your wife like Christ loves the church? How are you going to submit to your husband, the knucklehead? How are you going to do that if you don't forgive him in the first place? How are children going to honor their father and mother if they don't understand these verses? Now, there's a parallel verse I want you to turn to. We'll be going back and forth these verses. And does anybody know the parallel verse to this? It's in Grace. Who said Colossians? Whoever said it, great job. Let's go to Colossians. It says it a little differently, but it still says basically the same thing. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Colossians 3, 13. It says, forbearing one another. Yeah, John, that means putting up with one another. And forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against thee, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So this is the parallel verses. Now guess where the husband-wife verses are in Colossians? After this. So, and all the servants and the masters are all after this. So this is not a coincidence when God did this plan that He says, guys, you got to get your heart right in every relationship you have. And I'm talking about the relationships with your workers, with your roommates, with everybody that you have. This is important. And this is the thing, these verses to wake up. I've been starting to wake up and try to go over these verses because I'll tell you what, you'll find deep in your heart, you'll go, oh, I'm fine with this person. You're not. Until you allow the Word of God to work in you. And that's Ephesians 4, 30 through 32. I've been to several marriage, you know, ceremonies and everything. And, you know, I don't think I'll ever get to do them, but if I ever got to do a marriage, I would talk about these verses. And I have never heard a marriage ceremony talk about these verses. And this is where I heard the kind to one another, but I'm talking about forgiving one another. This is where it starts. This is where it starts everything. You meet somebody, we're all nice to everybody we meet, but then you get to know them after a while, and what's the hardest thing for you to do? Forgive them. To hold the bitterness. And who's the hardest person that you have the issue with? It's the people you're closest to, husbands and wives. That's the hardest thing to do, is forgive one another. We can say we're sorry, we can do these things, but are we truly allowing that bitterness and the anger to go away to forgive one another? And it's amazing when you look at it that way, and it totally clears your mind to have really good relationships when you do that. Now, a relationship takes two people. So if you forgive somebody, they don't forgive you, but that's not how Christ works. Christ was 100% all Him. You know, you go to a counseling session at a secular counselor. I haven't been to one. I just hear about them. And they say, well, it's 50-50. That's not scriptural. 50-50 is not scriptural. Christ said, I gave 100% because we weren't worth a lick. Okay, so He gave 100%. So in your relationships with everybody you have, worry about what you have to do. I know that's a hard thing to do because you're, oh, they should have done that, or they should have done that. You find in every situation when you have a situation in a relationship that when you're talking to somebody and you look back, you go, I probably could have done that or I probably could have done that. You're not going to beat yourself up, but you have to learn you can only change yourself by letting the Word of God change you. You can't change anybody else. But you'll find that as you grow in the Word of God, the people around you, I know that almost every one of you have been a huge encouragement to me to walk that and be an ambassador. That's what it matters. That's why the saints are so important, because we help and encourage one another. So, but again, it starts with forgiveness. Let's turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Go ahead, buddy. Amen. You're right. Because if you can't, if that's a sin in itself to live on the guilt. So Ken brought up a great point about forgiving yourself to do things. Because Paul says, look forward. You can't do anything about what you did 2 minutes ago. You can't change that. But what you can do is you can look forward with the Word of God and allow Him to work in you. You know, God doesn't deal with the past. If He did, we'd all be going to hell. So He's dealing with the future, and that's His future. That's where we're at. We're part of the body, and that's the exciting part about it. Let's go to Luke chapter 23, and let's go to verse 26. Does anybody know where we're at when we read Luke chapter 23? What's happening here? Is that the cross? So He's going to the cross. So this is on the last part of where He's going to the cross, and the chapter goes through here, what's happening to Him on the cross. And what does He do? What does He do? Luke chapter 23, verse, let's see here. Oh yeah, 34. There it is right there. I wrote that. 33 and 34. Okay, let's talk about 33 because it explains where He is. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, where they crucified Him and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left, and then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. One of the last things that Christ did before He died was do what? Ask the forgiveness. So how important is that, that we can forgive? And we're going to talk about Christ and the forgiveness a little later on right now, but I want to focus on our relationships. Obviously, it's with Him to do that. And what is the barrier between forgiving somebody and not forgiving somebody? What could be something that would cause us not? And it's in Ephesians 4:32. Pride is a word that starts with a B. Bitterness. Bitterness is one of the things. And if you go back, let's go back to Ephesians real quick. Let's go back to Ephesians. Bitterness is one of the things that we desperately struggle with. And look at verse 30, 31. Paul works in a way where he tells you a positive verse and then he tells you, you know, don't do this. And he tells you a positive verse. It's almost like when you're giving a sales speech. You talk about this and then you talk about the stuff that doesn't matter and you talk about this, or you talk about the good, bad, and it doesn't. It's amazing how God was the creator of that. What does he say in verse 30? It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That's the greatest news of all. We're sealed. You can't lose your salvation. God has sealed us. Then he jumps in there. Hey, since guys, you're up here with me, what do you want? What do I want you to do? Let all what? What's the first word? Why did he start off with bitterness? Because he knows us better than we know ourselves. So we're going to talk a little bit about bitterness too. Let's put the definition of the word. What does the word forgive mean? What does the word forgive mean? To let go. Pardon. Okay. Pardon. Also, it means to treat the offender not guilty. To treat him if he's never committed the crime. You know, you always worry about as a parent or a kid. The kids think that, hey, you won't forgive me. You'll bring this up in the past. Well, the verse forgive means to find that offender not guilty of what they did anymore. To let it go. To not hold anything. To not impute an offense or sin to the offender. So it's to not impute a sin to the offender. Now, on the other side of this, we're going to define bitterness. Does anybody have a clue what bitterness means? There's a bad feeling. Holding a grudge, holding something against somebody, holding feelings, okay? And you look in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, it defines it as sharp, cruel, distressful, hurtful, sinful, holding a grudge, sarcastic. I think we all kind of understand our sarcasm. Especially as you get older, I think we become more sarcastic as we live our lives. But yes, those are all words that describe bitterness. And you'll find, if you have enough pride, it turns to bitterness. If you have enough of whatever sin it is, long enough, it turns to being bitter against something. Either yourself or somebody. So, I'll put it up here as bitterness. It's holding a grudge, and all the bad words that go with it. There you go. And it's funny how Paul says to look forward, and bitterness is about holding on to everything backwards. So, bitterness is a bad thing. So we're going to go through, I don't like to talk about bad things, we got to talk about what bitterness is. We're going to go through some of the Old Testament, New Testament, where it shares with us what bitterness is. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 64. Psalms chapter 64. Psalms chapter 64. I'm going to start at verse 1, Psalm 64, verse 1. David wrote the book of Psalms, and he's talking to the Lord here, and he says, "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer, preserve my life from the fear of the enemy, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who do what? Who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words." So the enemy is using what kind of words? Bitter words. Remember, Paul talks about being an old man and a new man. An old man uses bitter words. A new man doesn't know what bitterness is, meaning that that new man is a pure creature of Christ. They don't do that. So back here, the bitter words obviously affect people. Sometimes people say to you, "Well, Barry, they're just words." But remember, what comes out of the mouth is in the, and the heart is wicked. So, and I've done it tons of times. I've said things, stupid things I shouldn't have said. But guess what? When you realize it's in your heart, you said them. Death was in your heart. So you have to go back and let that all go so that your heart, you can function forward in these relationships. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. We'll start at verse 3, and it's talking about a strange woman. It's talking about a man doing things that he shouldn't be doing with a strange woman. And he says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as a wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell." God relates almost every time in the Bible. When I looked up the word bitter, it's 68 times in the Bible. The bitterness is totally evil and done it against that. Now you say the Israelites, when they were taken by the Egyptians as slaves, they were bitter. But before that happened, they weren't doing the right things they were supposed to be doing anyway. So when you relate to bitter, God uses bitter is almost every time as a negative connotation. It's not good. And he relates it as, he relates bitter with evil, bitter with all the bad words, bitter with gossip, all those things he relates bitter with. So that bitter is not a good thing. Let's go to, you're in Proverbs right now, let's go to chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Let's go to verse 8. God's talking about wisdom here. He's talking about wisdom here. Proverbs 14, verse 8. It says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of the fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not immediate with his joy." Where does the bitterness start? In the heart. Crucial to know that. It's crucial to know that. A lot of times you'll get in a situation, relationship, and somebody does something wrong to you. It happens all the time. But how do you react to that situation? Do you say, "Well, they shouldn't have done that"? That's fine. But when you focus on everything that they're doing wrong and look back and go, "Could I have handled that better? Could I have been kinder? Could I have dealt with that better than what I've dealt with?" It starts with not being bitter against that person. You know, it's funny because bitterness will cloud your perception of life. It'll keep you totally down and squashed in your life. If you've ever seen people, You say that bitter old woman that sits there, that bitterness is the fuel. And that fuel, as we read about the woman, that fuel is all evil. It brings you down. And you'll realize in your life that bitterness is one of the worst things that can happen. And that's why God said, let it all go. It's a choice. You can live in it or not live in it. But let it all go. But bitterness is just a bad thing. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. And I kind of made this to where we're going forward in the Bible for you guys. I try to do that. That's just, I think Rich does the same thing, where you start someplace, you go here rather than skip back and forth. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. It says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitterness. So what do people try to do with bitterness? They try to turn it around. They try to call it something that it's not. They try to justify it. Does that sound like anybody? We try to justify what we do because we're bitter. And you may be right, but the act of bitterness is wrong. Holding on to those things is wrong. Let's jump over to Romans. We'll go all the way to Romans. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And what is Romans 3 for the young people here and the older people? What's that, the road to? Romans, this is salvation. This is salvation. This is, we all should know where this is at, and we all should take people to Romans 3. That's the only way they're going to get saved, is to share this with them. He goes through a list of things in verse 10 all the way down to 21, 22, 23. But one of the things he talks about in verse 14, he says, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Who is the main person right now, and it's been this way before we were created, who's bitter? Satan. Satan is our father of bitterness. Okay? Now, he's not our father, but, he's the father of bitterness. So all we're doing is mimicking after this guy. This guy's been bitter against God. That's why he dropped. He said, I want what you got. I can be which you are. So isn't that amazing that the quality that God wouldn't want us to have, it started off with Satan. Now, this bitterness wasn't around. Remember, when he created everybody, there was no bitterness. When he created Satan, there was no bitterness. This was through a thought process. So you say, well, I can't stop being bitter. I can't let it go. No, you can let it go. That's why the word says, let all bitterness. Because Satan made a choice, and we get the same choice. The good part is that we're already on that side of eternity. We're going to spend the rest of our lives with the Lord. As John was talking about, you read Romans 3, somebody gets saved, close the Bible, live the rest of your life. Imagine living a life full of bitterness. What good is that going to do? You're never going to be edified. Were the Corinthians the type of, when you read Corinthians, especially the first three or four chapters, I feel bad for them. But what kind of Christians were they? They were babes in Christ. They were carnal. Bitterness will force even that person who's been a Christian for 20 years, walking the walk, if he holds on or she holds on to something, you'll go right back to being a babe. You may know all this, you may be doing good, but I tell you what, bitterness will knock you down all the way as far as your edification process and make it almost paralyzes you who you are from being bitter against people. It's just bad. And that's how crucial it is. That's why God said, focus on what I did and let all that garbage go. Let it all go. Let's jump to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. This is where the place we'll be turning to a few times, but Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and let's go to 19. Here I'll pick on the husbands a little bit. John's doing a great study, by the way, at Saturday at our house. It'll start again in 2 weeks, but we had quite a crowd last time, about 20 people, and we're talking about husbands and wives. And let me tell you something, it's crucial, and we're going to get in all sorts of relationships. And even if people are single, all these things apply. The bitterness applies to your roommates, your brothers, your sisters, your coworkers. We're not specifically talking about marriage. We're talking about any relationship you have. This is what this talks about. But this verse, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. How can you love your wife if you're bitter? You can't. You cannot do both at the same time. So he's saying to us, love our wives and be not bitter, because God's going, guys, you can't do them both. So why are you trying? Why are you trying to be bitter and fake like you're loving her? It's not working. Just like wives, how do you submit to your husbands and be bitter? You might do it in your flesh. Don't get me wrong. It may look like we love our wives in the flesh, but that's not godly love. That's not the love that God's talking about. Remember, what does Romans 8:8 say? The flesh cannot please God. So we have choices every day that we do out of our flesh and out of the Spirit. The unbeliever, when we were all not saved and we said, I forgive you, guess what that really meant? Nothing. Nothing. Because it didn't come from God and it wasn't Christ-centered. So this is what we need to focus on, is what Christ did for us. And as believers, thank God, we can truly forgive people. We can truly forgive people. And you ever notice when you hang around people, sometimes you say, well, God, you guys, you know, you let things go or you do things. That's Christ working in you. But you know when you're around unbelievers, my dad's an unbeliever, nicest guy in the world. But I know when he forgives somebody, it's not truly the forgiveness that God saw. He can't. It's not that he doesn't, you know, is there, but he's not able to do that. So, but notice, husbands, love your wives, be not bitter against them, is all those verses after Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, where it says, forgive one another. So this is where you got to start from. This is where you got to begin. And again, I recommend, like I said, I wake up now, I'm starting to think about these verses every day. Just forgive it all. Just let it go. Just start your day fresh. And that starts with those verses. And it just makes your life better. And then remember them, remember them, remember them. Because trust me, you see it all the time in yourself. You go, well, I don't act bitter towards them, but nobody knows your heart but God and you. So in the secret to your heart, you know you're bitter against people. You know, let it go. Life can be so much more enjoyable, so much more. And the ambassador you're supposed to be, the edification process, you'll see yourself grow like you've never grown before. Let's look at James. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Verse 14. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. How can you glory in something when you have bitter? You got to fix that first. And guess what? Nobody knows that but you and the Lord. Nobody knows how you're feeling towards anybody but you and the Lord. You can keep it secret for a long time and do that, but nobody knows that. And that's why God said, guys, this is dumb. The bitterness doesn't need to be there. I did everything for you. Focus on that. Don't focus on this. And the father of bitterness is Satan. Just remember that. Okay, so let's talk about some good stuff now. So we talked about all that bad stuff. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I know we're all going to work hard on just letting that go, and we're going to focus on verse 32. Verse 32, one of the most wonderful verses in the Bible ever. So awesome. And we're going to talk about what that word, again, forgiveness means to the Lord. It says, and ye be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We're going to talk about that last part of there. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's where the strength relies right there. It says, even as. When you look at that verse, what happens first? You forgiving somebody, or you remembering Christ, what he did for you, and then forgiving somebody? Is that what, that's how I read that verse. It says, as. That means Christ did something, you mimic him. You believe in what he believed. You allow him to work in your heart to do that. It starts there. So let's go over some verses. There's about 8 or 10 verses in Paul's books that talk about that forgiveness. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Hold on, let me get it here. I don't think I put the... Let's go to... Let's jump over. I don't know if I put the right... Hold on a second. I got it right. Oh, sorry, Romans chapter 4, right there, verse 7. It says, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Is that past or present tense? It's past, but it includes everything. Okay? Right? So, it's what he did here, all the way to eternity. What I want you guys to get it as we're reading these verses is sometimes you read verses, and let's go to Matthew so I can clarify this a little. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Hold your place in Romans. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. The reason why I'm saying that is because there's a prayer that God prayed, and it's a little different than when we were in Ephesians. And I want you guys to see the difference because it makes a big difference. Look at Matthew chapter 6, especially if you brought up a religion, you know this place of Scripture really well. Let's look at, there's two accounts of the Lord's Prayer. One's a few different words than the other saying the same thing, but we're going to focus on the one in Matthew. Let's jump down to verse 12. It says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So what has to happen first in that verse? That's right. We have to do it first to God. What's the difference between that and the one in Ephesians? Christ did it. Big difference. Big difference. Now keep reading down here. What does he say in verse 15? Or verse 14? It says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. What's first? What a big difference. One, Christ did everything for you and you're dependent on His strength. And this one, it says, you need to do it and Christ will forgive you. The whole roles have flopped. That's huge. You want to show somebody some big differences between the kingdom program and the body of grace. Those two places are huge. So let's jump back to Romans then. Let's jump back to Romans where we're at and look at that verse in the context of looking at what just happened in Matthew. Blessed are, Romans 4, chapter, verse 7, it says, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. This is past tense. This is God did this already. Moving forward. The other verses are we have to do something to God get for God to do something for us. All right? Jump over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. When did that happen? Did that already happen? Are we waiting for that to happen? Or are we waiting to depend on something to happen? And all of our sins are gone. So it's very important that we understand Christ did all this already. We're totally forgiven. We're totally forgiven. We're totally forgiven. Let's go to Ephesians 4:32. I'm going to read again the verse we started with. And again, to demonstrate this past, present, future thing, to demonstrate this has already happened. Ephesians 4:32, it says, and be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Is that past or present? He's done it all. It's all done. So, in light of these verses, and we got a couple more going to go over, it's done. Notice that key word in there, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted. What's the difference between being tender-hearted and being bitter-hearted? It's complete opposites. How can a bitter heart be a tender heart? I mean, it's putting two things together that you can't put together. So, you got to be a tender-hearted person. So that's why God says, get rid of all this garbage. And verse 30, He tells us you're sealed. You got the greatest news of all. I got it all. Verse 31 says, since you got it all go. Let all that garbage go. And then he jumps to 32. After you let it go, here's your relationships. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So phenomenal along how you think about that and your process of your mind thinking. We always think, well, hey, if they do this, I'll do this. I mean, how many times do you see people, well, he's not doing that, she's not doing that, my sister's not doing that, my roommate's not cooking. And you know, all this stuff. What's happening? But you're looking. Yeah. Ken's thankful Dan's not cooking. Anyway, have you forgiven him for that? Okay, good. See? The love's over there. The point is that's what I'm saying. This issue, when you really look in your heart, you'll go, you know what? Let it all go. Because I'm telling you right now, you say you do. We talk the talk, and sometimes we fake that talk or fake the walk, but the heart's the heart. It's not going to change unless you allow the Word of God to change. Remember, the heart and the mind. Satan's pounding your mind, trying to get you to think about other things, different religions, changing the doctrine, changing the Bibles, everything. Satan's trying to get you over there. Your flesh is buying into that. Love that. Flesh loves bitterness. Flesh loves bitterness. The flesh thrives off of bitterness. It's like pride and bitterness right up there. The flesh goes, give me more of that. And you look at people. I look at people. I look at myself. What does bitterness do to you over time, even over a day? It drags you down. It makes you take all the energy. Sometimes you don't feel like doing anything because I'm bitter. I'm mad. I'm bitter. It's horrible. There's nothing good that can come out of it. Nothing. You know, and people always ask, Barry, what if somebody hurts your family physically? Should you forgive them? Absolutely. It doesn't mean I have to let these people back in my house again. Forgiveness does not equate other things with that. Let me make that clear, okay? It doesn't equate that. And I use the family because it's the easiest thing. A guy comes in your house, you know, hurts your family. You need to forgive him. The verse does not change that. Forgive that person. Listen to me. God in Timothy 4:16 talks about protecting your family. I'm all for protecting your family. Okay? But I'm saying to you is, you protect your family. And most of the things you guys are getting hit with, and we're getting hit with, is not the sights and the sounds. It's that spiritual battle. It's going to college. It's going to other places. Going here. You know, we love Disneyland. Going there. It's so petty. You've got to keep your mind clear when you go to the world because there's a lot of stuff happening. You can't not exist in the world. You got to go to places. You go, but you keep your mind straight. Understand that Satan's working in these ways that you don't even see. He's working right here. Romans 6, put on the armor. Ephesians 6, put on the armor. Love that chapter. All the armor. He says the battle is not the physical. It's in the spiritual realm. Satan knows all of you are, we're a thorn in his side. He hates us. He's after us. And he knows that he can't take us away from the Lord. Because of the Word of God, he knows that. But what can he do? He can make us ineffective. You know what he picks on? He picks on our flesh. Come here. Come on. Come over here. Be better. He loves that. And the flesh loves him too. The flesh and Satan love each other. I'm telling you, this is the way life works. So you have to make that choice. You finally have the power over your flesh by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit inside of you. You can choose not to do it this way. Some people say, well, I read this verse, Barry, I forgave him, but 10 minutes later, read it again 10 minutes later. Read it again 10 minutes later. If this is what it takes, I'm telling you, your whole life will change off of one verse. It's changing me. It's changed the way I think. It's all, this is just stupid. It's just stupid. And it's not a matter of wrong or right. First of all, we're all wrong. Let's get it straight. We're all wrong. God's right. Sometimes we just happen to do the things that He says are right. That doesn't make us right. That makes God still right. He's the origin of justification, the righteousness. He does everything perfect. So when we allow the Spirit of God to work through us and we do something right, we get zero credit. That's what the verse says. It's all about Him. When you stand in front of God in the judgment seat, you're going to stand in front of Him and saying, how many times did Christ work in my life? He's going to judge you based upon all the rest. They're going to burn up. Our flesh, just all that, we're not going to have the flesh. It's all going to burn up, all those bad deeds. Everything that we did in His name, we don't get the credit. The Lord Jesus gets the credit. We get the crown for what He did. I'm happy about that. Don't have to fight anymore. Don't have to earn that. Because we couldn't anyway. So part of this is in here. You want to not cripple your Christian. You say, Barry, what's the biggest thing when you're walking the walk? Just live free. Forgive people and live free. That, I'll tell you, you'll see all the other, you'll see your edification process skyrocket if you can just forgive. I'm telling you. And it's funny how we're talking about this, and Christ is the center of the universe, the creator of all things. And the thing that He had to do that was separating us from God was sin, and He had to forgive us. So it's funny how important that is to Him is how important it needs to be to us. Let's keep going through the verse here. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And again, all these verses, you guys know all these verses. Some of you have memorized most of these verses, but I'm telling you, these verses are just so awesome that we're sealed, that He forgave us, and it's done. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, through the blood of Christ, even the forgiveness of sins. Past tense, present tense, or this going to happen? No, it's already happened. We got it all, guys. And the thing that was separating us from heaven was sin. And the only way that changed is if Christ were to forgive us. That's the only way. And we couldn't do it, so He had to do it for us. So, you say, why is that so important in your relationships at home, at work, everybody you meet? Because God said it was so important. It's the one thing that changed our lives. Because He sent His Son so that we could be forgiven. So if that's what kind of God, and you say that's out of love, yes, love is what the, God's heart is love. But what was the thing He did out of love? He forgave us. So what do we got to do with our relationships? Forgive people. Colossians chapter 2, we're right there. Go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Colossians 2, verse 13 says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. This is where God loved us. He hath quickened us, quickened together with Him, having forgiven you, that's us, all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. That's a permanent forgiveness. You have faith in the blood, you get that. Done deal. 1 second, half a second, millisecond, it's done. Let's jump to Colossians 3:13. That's one of the verses we keep talking about. It says, forbearing one another. That means, Ken, Dan, putting up with one another. Okay? And forgiving one another. Even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So, the people at the school in Connecticut, all these things happening, people killing people and do everything. If you're a believer, you got to forgive those people. But again, as Joe and John talked about, they still need to go to prison. That doesn't mean that you're buddies with the person, but you need to forgive them. Whether you forgive them or not, they're going to do what they want to do. Who does that affect when you don't forgive them? So guess who? Guess Satan just won. Your flesh just won. Why would you want your flesh to win? Why do you want to act like that old man when the Lord says forgive? The reason why He says to do that, first of all, He says vengeance is mine. So even if people get away with stuff, they're not going to get away with the heaven. It's not going to happen. And us as Christians, the judgment seat, all that stuff's going to burn up. So nothing bad's going to be there. Nobody will get away with anything. The reason why He tells us forgive in the most horrible situations is because He knows that it affects us as believers. It affects us. Remember, Ephesians was not written to the unbelievers, it's written to the believer. He's not going to ask an unbeliever to ask another unbeliever, an unbeliever to forgive somebody because He said, you're separated from me. I'm showing you my love. You got a chance. Just have faith in my blood. You're part of the team. But if He doesn't do that, He's never asking that unbeliever to do that. And He's never giving it credit or credence or credibility that we as unbelievers, we can forgive somebody. He doesn't give me credit if I forgive John and I do it in the flesh. He says, burn that up. Done. You didn't do it in my Father's name because that's a temporary forgiveness. That's a forgiveness with other motivations. I mean, we all manipulate things. We all say, I'm going to do this, get my way, be extra nice. We've all done that. Okay? And the bottom line is, you need to be that way. Who you are in Christ is who you are in Christ. If you're having a day and you're struggling, that's who you are. Hopefully you're around people. My wife helps me out. I have a bad day at work. Come home. She goes, don't be entangled with the affairs of this world. I mean, that's the greatest way because she goes to Scripture. Now she could say, well, honey, be all right. They shouldn't do this. You can do that. But is it really going to change the way I think? The election happened. I haven't watched the news since the election happened, right? And I've had a rough time. I'll be honest with you. I've had a rough time forgiving the socialist people around. I have a rough time with that. And that's why this verse is said. I said, Lord, they need to be saved. They just need to be saved. All these people need to be saved. That doesn't mean I'm going to vote for them. It doesn't mean that I'm going to go contribute or promote what they're doing. We're going to stand firm in the Word, love on everybody from where we're at, put that armor on, and just forgive people and understand that they need that. They need that because we needed that first.
You know, Barry, what you're saying is, and I agree with you, is that every single person on this earth today has some bitterness in it because we have Adam.
Yes.
Okay. And yes, we should forgive. Just like if somebody hurt my family and I shot him, I'd forgive them for bleeding on my wife.
No.
that.
He's not talking about that.
But revenge is justice that we impose, not God's justice.
But let me ask you this, John. Let's say that we put a guy, and I'm all for the government. Principal, I'm a military guy, all for the government. I'm for the death penalty because of Scripture. I'm all for that. Even the bottom line is, whatever that guy did, his biggest sin and the issue why he's going to hell is not that he killed somebody. His biggest issue is he didn't have faith in the blood of Christ. So we can't look at this through an engineer tunnel vision like this, saying he's horrible, he should die, or they should do this. Yeah, I say those things too, but the bottom line is, the issue when he's going to hell because he didn't have faith in the blood, not because he killed somebody. Just like the issue out there, the gays, marriage, forget all that stuff. The issue is, do you have faith in the blood? When you get somebody that believes in this, there's your foundation. You can show them all the verses there. God is clear in His Word to protect your family. He's clear in the Word to do you the things you have to do. But to get caught up all in that and do that is being entangled with the affairs of this world. So, Satan wants you to be all upset that somebody broke in, doesn't want you to forgive anybody for what they did to family, because you know what? Then John becomes this muddy ambassador down to nobody. God says, you're everybody, act like it. He knows that you can't be an ambassador unless you forgive. You cannot do it effectively if you have the bitterness you can't forgive. Trust me, I tried it. We try it every day. Bitterness, it doesn't work. Even if it appears the worst, everybody says, oh, this person's nice and this person, Rich Berry, they're nice. No, we're not nice guys. We're wretched men saved by grace that need to forgive people on a daily, minute-by-minute basis. Because our pride says, we're doing everything right, they're doing everything wrong. Well, no, it's probably, forget about them, we're doing everything wrong. That's what we need to look at. And go, if we look at people going, they're doing everything wrong, then we're elevating us like this. And we don't want to do that. So, what I'm saying is through life and through things that happen is the forgiveness, I'm telling you, if you don't do it, you won't be effective. And that's why God puts so much emphasis on it. That's why He starts off, and He talks about this before He gets into all the relationships and everything you have. What does Jesus say in the Gospels? He says what? Love your enemies. How in the heck you can love somebody if you can't forgive them? So, the people who are doing all the killing, forgive them. Say, Lord, I forgive them, no bitterness. Pray for them. Pray that they be saved. Pray that they do these things. We have a brother and sister in Christ struggling. Galatians 6:1 talks about going up to them in a humble manner, as if you could be doing it. Tell him, hey brother, you're doing this wrong. Come on, you know, and encourage him to right his ways. Encourage him to be in the Word. Encourage him to be an ambassador. It's not this relationship. You know, you go to other churches, you got godly men, you got all this hierarchy. No. We're all wretched. John's wretched. Every pastor who teaches is wretched, saved by grace. That's who we are. Until we humble ourselves and take it that level and go, I'm cool being a wretched man because guess what? I get the glory for what he did. So you're thankful for being wretched. But after you're saved, you're like, well, I don't want to act like that wretched man anymore. Well, then let the bitterness, let all this go. So let's close it up with here. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Always remember, God is the center of the universe. He's the Creator. He is the first to forgive anybody, and He did that for us. Okay?
That's why He made the flood.
Listen to me, John. God is just though. God is just. So when I look at the Bible and see God doing all these things, He gave every one of those people, every second, every time, every minute, chances. No, He forgave everyone if they believed in His message. I'm saying the forgiveness is there. They just didn't believe in it. The guy who dies and goes to heaven, God, that person didn't get forgiven because they didn't have faith in what God did on the cross. Everything through the Scripture He does, and everything, He had wars, He killed people, flood, everything, it's all justified because He said, this is what a just, He's God, He's justice, this is what I'm going to do. Who's the verse talking to in Ephesians? It's talking to forgiving anyone. But who's the verse talking to? A believer. You need to forgive believers and unbelievers of anything. That's what the verse says. He did. They didn't take what I'm saying, John. They didn't believe in the blood, is what I'm saying to you. You have to believe in what God says to get that forgiveness. Do they have to believe in what John says to get the forgiveness? No, because we're not God. They have to believe in that in order for that to happen. Once they're saved, they're there. But if I have an unbeliever in my work that's terrible, I have a situation, it's terrible. I need to forgive her. She needs to see Christ. Does that mean I have to hang around and have a lot? No, that does not. But I need to forgive her because my heart and my walk is being affected because of the bitterness. These are facts. I mean, this is every day. We all have it. If you don't, then you're not looking at yourself square. It's not something you need to, I'm bitter. Look in the mirror. Look, you know, we have this problem. And that's why I wanted to talk about it, because this is affecting our lives, our walks with Christ. And because He did all this, you forgive that person. Again, that doesn't mean you have to live their lifestyle. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to do anything. That's not what forgiveness means. Forgiveness means you're pardoning them. You're not imputing the sin to the offender. You're not looking at them going, that guy's horrible. You're not looking at that. You know what you should look at that guy? Obama and those people? They need a Savior. They need Jesus Christ. Well, you've got to get the bitterness out of your heart before you can really say that they need the Lord. But where does it all start? You wake up in the morning, husbands and wives, we're the closest people to each other, and that's the people, roommates, whoever you live with is the person you should start with. Forgiving, that's the hardest one to forgive. You live with the person. We got four sinners in our house. You know? It's hard. You got four fleshly people, everybody wanting their own thing. It's every household. Practice that at home when you wake up. Practice that. It starts there and goes out everywhere. It's easy to forgive a guy you don't see every 3 years. I can forgive him, I don't see him. But how hard it is at home? How hard it is at the people you're close to? Your family. We all have it. I haven't talked to my mom and dad in 2 years over some issues, but I have forgiven them and I want to talk to them. But it's going to be on the terms, like Joe, it's going to be on the terms that I set. We're going to fix this right because I got to protect my family. So there's nothing wrong with that, but there's no bitterness. Like, hey, let's have this relationship, but here's the term. And that's called being the man of the house and setting it right. And that's what we do. Anyway, we'll take a 5-minute break and then we'll get Big Rich up here.